Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
Satan has convinced you to be sick, depressed, disappointed, broke, and busted, and you think that's just the way it is. Judges chapter 15. Let me read verse 1. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, "Let me go into my wife, into her room," but her father would not permit him to go. Verse 2. Her father said, "I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead." And Samson said to them, verse 3, "This time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them." Now, it goes down and shows you here how he caught these foxes and all this kind of stuff. Now, it made the Philistines mad. You see, the Philistines was ruling and reigning over Israel. Now, you would think Israel at that time would want deliverance. You would think that people would believe in healing so cancer could be eradicated. You would think that people would believe in blessings so poverty could be eradicated. You would think that. But you see, the church world and the secular world is living the status quo. I am not a status quo man, and neither is Jesus Christ. That's why they hated him, because the church didn't like what he did, but he refused to do what they said. He said, "I only say what my father says, and I only do what my father says to do." Now, notice something about Samson here. Watch it. So, I mean, the Philistines got mad. They killed him all. And then they went down to Samson. Watch this. And verse 11 is what I want to read here. It says this. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us?" Look at me. Is poverty ruling over you? Is sickness and disease ruling over you? Is hatred ruling over you? Is bitterness ruling over you? Well, it's just normal. No, it's not. But when you've learned to live under the status quo, you don't realize that you're in bondage. You'd be surprised. That's why God put in the book of Revelation chapters about diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby. That's why he put fine gold on top of the ground in the Garden of Eden to let you know, bless God, that all he wanted to ever do was be a blessing to you. You don't fall in love with the stuff. The stuff don't mean nothing. It's to let you know that God will do anything you're willing to believe if you'll believe his word. Amen. I want to read verse 11 again. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, "As they did to me, so have I done to them." You see, what happened is, right there, if them 3,000 men of Judah would have went with Samson, they'd have defeated the Philistines and got out of bondage. If some of you would have enough guts to stand up and believe the word of God and come together in one mind and one accord instead of criticizing, if you spend so much time praying for people instead of criticizing people, we could defeat the devil and Jesus Christ would come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you see, you've got used to the status quo. The secular world's got used to the status quo. Because if there's cancer in your family, you're going to get it. If diabetes in your family, you're going to get it. And if there's poverty in your family, you're going to get it. No, you're not genetically linked up with any of those people. You're genetically linked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't have cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, or he doesn't have poverty neither. Think about that. But you see, so many people are used to the status quo. And after a while, the change turns into jewelry. So write this down if you're taking notes. Don't love your chains so much that you find fault with your liberator. They found fault with Samson. He come there to liberate them. And yet they would say, "Let me bind you." The church is Israel was binding him. The church is trying to bind me. My God, trying to bind people that believe in the fullness of God's word. I ain't saying we've done everything right. Nobody ever does anything right. But we hadn't intentionally done anything wrong. But notice this. See, when you've fallen in love with your chains and turn them into jewelry, you will attack your liberator. You will attack the person that'll set you free. And you think you're doing right because you're so scared of what the devil might do. Well, I ain't scared of nothing. You understand what I'm saying? I will not falter or fail. I will not cower. And that's not being a man. That's believing what Jesus Christ said. I'm going to be like that first church. I don't care if I'm burning and dying. I'm going to sing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm standing for what is right. You can disagree with that. My God, we have freedom of speech in America. What a blessing of God it is. So notice this. Don't love your chains so much that you find fault with your liberator. Write this down. Your power of resistance is gone when you submit like sheep to the wolf. See, they all thought I was going to cower. They all said, I will not. Why? I didn't do nothing wrong. I just preached the word. Now, I may have a greater revelation on some things than you do. That doesn't mean I'm smarter than you are. Sometimes you need a good theologian to help you misunderstand the Bible. And a lot of them are lost as a goose in a fog. They don't even know who God is. But they're homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological, which is wonderful. But that ain't going to get cancer off your body. That ain't going to get you out of a hole. That's not going to stop you from being homeless. But you see the difference between me and most preachers, they finance poverty. Now, I feed the poor. I help people. My God, that's not the issue. But I refuse to finance poverty. I will eradicate poverty if you listen to what I'm saying. Amen. Jesus didn't come to finance sin. He came to eradicate sin. He didn't say, just live with it and do the best you can. No, you see, and that's what the problem with poverty. How much poverty you have to have before you decide that it isn't right? How many people have to starve to death all over this world for you to understand that poverty is not right? And feeding them is a wonderful thing. But if you give them an idea how to feed themselves, they'll get out of the poverty symptoms. You see what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is what Samson was trying to do, deliver these people. And not one of those men helped him. Let me say it again. Don't love your chains so much that you find fault with your liberator. And then I said, your power resistance is gone when you submit like sheep to the wolf. Now, I'm going to say something going to shock some people. It's no dishonor to have a small beginning, but it is a dishonor to remain small. You see, because when you're remaining small, you live in the status quo. Samson came to deliver those guys. And they wanted to bind him. And that's exactly what they did. They bound Samson. Because they were afraid of the Philistines. Their status quo had become so powerful in their lives, they didn't see freedom when it was right in front of their eyes. Oh, this is good, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. Do you know how many times doctors have tried to kill me through my family history? Have you had cancer in your family? Yeah, my grandfather died of lung cancer. My Uncle Dennis died of colon cancer. My Aunt Totsie died of, I don't know what kind of cancer. It was a cancer. I mean, cancer has come against our family, on my father's side and my mother's side. Have you had any heart trouble in your family? Oh, yeah, my father had a major heart attack at 34 years old. My youngest brother had a major heart attack at 34. My oldest brother had a heart attack at 33 or 34. Oh, and they would just go, oh, Lord, you know, you're just going to get it. No, I'm going to be 69 in about 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. And bless God, I ain't sick. Why? Because I refuse to. I don't deny genetics. I don't deny what they say, but whose report shall I believe? You see, I follow my liberator. By his stripes, I am healed. I'm not criticizing Jesus. Can you believe that the church world today, there's some churches that don't believe in healing? You know what? You just hadn't got sick enough yet. You haven't had a doctor stick his finger in your face and say, you got pancreatic cancer, and you better put your affairs in order because you ain't got but 6 months. Let me tell you something. Y'all better believe what I'm saying here today, because Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan's trying to kill a great senator right now, and his name is John McCain. Right. They say it's a vicious disease. It's a brain cancer. I think it killed Ted Kennedy, the same guy. My God, why don't somebody stand up and say, hey, why don't we pray for this man? Why don't we believe God? Why don't we have prayer vigils? At least pray for the family. Instead of just lay down. But when you get used to the status quo, you think the status quo is right when it's not. See, so it's not a dishonor to have a small beginning, but it's just a dishonor to remain small. Don't be afraid to submit to the trouble and sacrifice necessary for your victory. Amen. Let me say it again. Don't be afraid to submit to the trouble and sacrifice necessary for your victory. I knew the media would come at me with everything they had. But you know what? I'm tired of people saying the Christians can't have something. Well, let me tell y'all that don't believe this, okay? And you can write, you can say all you want. Jesus said, ask anything to the Father. This is Jesus. Now, if you got a problem with that, then you really got a problem because this is Jesus' word. Ask anything to the Father in my name. What does anything mean to you? Ask anything to the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, you could use that money to feed the poor. I am feeding the poor. How much poor people are you feeding? That's right. You see what I'm saying? You have no idea what I do. And you know what? Most ministries tell you that. They tell you how many people they feed, my God, and all. I don't do any of that. Why? Because I keep people's dignity in line. I'm not going to go around telling you how I've helped people in their bills, how I've done different things. Why? Because, you know, you don't want nobody to know that you've been struggling and things of that nature. So if I happen to be in a place and the Lord speaks to me, I just do it. You see what I'm saying? He said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand doing. Some of y'all don't know what your right hand is or your left hand. And you got a college degree. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Samson was their liberator, and they bound him. Jesus Christ was our liberator, and they crucified him. The church said, crucify him. The Romans didn't want to do that. But that they were the letter of the law in those days. They were under the Roman rule. You see what I'm saying? But Jesus came and died so we would be free. And if he took a whipping that so terrible, and if you really want to see it, I really think that Mel Gibson probably got it right when he did that movie called The Passion. When they kept beating Jesus, after a while, man, it was almost sickening, wasn't it? Yeah. And that's what the Bible means when it says scourged. But he did that for you. And you mean to tell me you're going to say God sent this sickness to you to teach you something? See, you're a status quo person. Satan has convinced you to be sick, depressed, disappointed, broke, and busted, and you think that's just the way it is. Let me tell you what Satan wants. He don't want any preacher. He don't want any church getting any bigger than a little small on the corner, not saying much. Why? Because he knows Christianity will destroy him. You want proof of that? Every time Jesus came to town, what did the demon say? Leave us alone. Why? Because he's going to mess up the status quo. Leave us alone. You come to the temple before our time. Boy, they saw Jesus had power. Leave us alone. Because, see, the Satan had convinced every one of them to be poor, busted, disgusted, and act holy about it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Do you see what I'm saying? So write this down. This will help you. It's unsafe to breathe unbelief. It's unsafe to breathe unbelief. It has infection in it. It's unsafe to breathe unbelief. It has infection in it. Belief always rules conduct. Belief always rules conduct. It works wonders when you believe it. When I was building my home, I didn't know how to build a house, but Richard Pichon did. I believed in you, Richard. You told me some stuff, and you thought I understood what you said. I didn't have the foggiest idea what you said. I just smiled and said, I got it. What? Do what's good in your heart, Rich. I didn't know. I don't see how he could do some of the things he did. But he did. Why? Because he believed it. I said, have you ever built something like it? No, but he said, I can do it. Now, you think I would have hired him if I said, he said, I don't know. Nope. Oh. And I don't doubt some of those people that worked on that plane, on that house, probably criticized me, but they sure took that money, didn't they? Which is okay, because they deserved it, because they worked hard for it. Right? But there's the builder. Did I ever sign a contract with you? You believed in me, didn't you? Belief works wonders. Did I pay you, Richie? Was anything I did not pay you? Let me tell you something. I'm going to talk to Jesus. When Jesus told me, he said, you believe me. I never could understand why the Lord wouldn't let me raise money for that aircraft. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a tool to me. That's all it is. I don't care. I'm trying to go home, ladies and gentlemen. I'm doing about 300 days a year. You understand? I'm only home about 60 days in a whole year. I'm trying to, you know, and I've slowed down some. You know, Jesus, look at my hair. I started out with brown hair. Jesse, let me tell you what Jesse want to do. Jesse want to go home. I just like to go home, rest myself a little bit. But that's all right. I'm about the Father's business. And when you understand that, when you understand what God is saying, see, I refuse to be a status quo man. I tell my staff, I want y'all to believe God so I can be a blessing to you. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? My God, we've helped the homeless like crazy, but I don't want them homeless. We've fed a lot of poor people, but I don't want them to stay poor. That is, don't finance poverty. Jesus said, the Spirit of God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The word gospel means good news. In other words, eradicate poverty instead of finance it. Well, you know, Peter said, silver and gold have I not. Good God, man, read the Bible. He just come out of church and gave his offering. But he still had something else to give. He said, I don't have any silver and gold right now, but what I have, I can give you. Well, let me tell every one of you that are watching all over this world what I have, I can give you. I have faith, and he'll believe what I'm saying, my God. You'll get out of that hole. What you going to do when you get to heaven? Oh, I don't believe that. Prosperity, sir. What you going to do when you see a mansion in Gold Street? You're going to say, Jesus, you got a tent. You see, you've got used to it. The status quo has become normal. The Israelites got used to being under bondage to the Philistines. So they didn't want to disturb it. The demons didn't want Jesus to disturb them while they were controlling people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My God. So when you hear, write this down so you can get this here. When you expect nothing and get nothing, you're not disappointed when you receive nothing. See, when you expect nothing and you get nothing, or you don't have nothing, you don't get disappointed when you don't get nothing. I'll change your life if you listen to me. I want you blessed. I don't want people starving to death in Africa. That's man's inhumanity to man. Well, why did God let that happen? Oh, Jesus. My God, there's enough food, just the food we throw away in American restaurants, we can feed most of them. But if you ain't got no money, it doesn't happen. And let me tell you something about money. If it's so bad, how come you working for it? So evidently, it must not be bad. You sure put your kids to school through it. Buy groceries and buy clothes for your kids. Now, you don't fall in love with it, for God's sake, man. No, it don't love you. No. What is money? Money is a tool to help you in this life. Do you know if you eat money, it'll kill you? Yes. You start stuffing $20 bills down your throat, you're going to die. But if you take that 20 and go to the store and buy some groceries, it's going to bring nutrition to your body. Yeah. You've heard me say it before. If you take that 20 and go to someplace and buy some clothes, it'll bring warmth to your body. It's valueless until it becomes a seed. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah, I am not a status quo man. I will not do that. Why? Because Jesus taught me right. Amen. He taught me right. Because I go by his words. That's why Thomas Jefferson, a lot of people don't understand, has something called the Jefferson Bible. He cut everything out the Bible except what Jesus said. You ought to get you a copy. It's called the Jefferson Bible. Now, he shouldn't have cut out the Pauline and Revelation by no means. But you see, he had so many preachers saying one thing, another preacher saying this. Well, I'm going to say what Jesus said. And that makes all the world mad. I'm sorry. But I am doing and saying, Jesus is my example. He said, I only say what my Father tells me to say, and I only do what my Father says to do. You see what I'm saying? My Lord, when you expect nothing and get nothing, you're not disappointed when you receive nothing. Now, I'm going to say something. I want you to listen to me. The church shouldn't have done this, but many of you have walked in evil, and it's because of some teachings by the church. Evil has no right in your life. That is the devil's doctrine. It will paralyze you. Poverty has no right. Poverty is evil. It has no right in your life. That's why Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, for he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Yeah, it has no right in your life. Well, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. I understand that. I understand that. Why? Because some people want to be poor. Did y'all see that thing on television that the mom and daddy had to go to the court to get the 30-year-old son out of their house? Because he don't want to work. Who don't want to work? It would be nice to just lay in the bed and people put grapes in your mouth as they walk by. But we work for a living, right? Well, I do something more than working for a living. I work for a giving. I like being a blessing. You see what I'm saying? So when I walk in, especially now, born, I walk into a restaurant yesterday. Everybody, adjusted the plate. I said, hello, everybody. I will not cower. That's not trying to man up. So don't misunderstand that. No. I believe what I say. I believe what Jesus said. Now, there's something Jesus said I have a hard time believing. This one, bless those that curse you. Take the gun and leave the cannolis. Kathy said that. I just thought I'd tell you. It's hard to bless those that curse you. Pray for those that add things to you. Vengeance is mine. That's a hard one. No, let it be mine. You take too long, Lord. It's not vengeance, Jesus, just a little justice. And like my friends that I was raised up with, you do what you gotta do.
Where's Fred?
That's how I was raised. Thank God I don't do those things. Evil has no right in your life. I prayed for a person this morning on the phone, and she's had real bad problems with her back. I said, that's evil. That's the devil just trying to destroy your way of life. We're going to pray healing for that. See, has no, why? Because that's the devil's doctrine. My God, if you're a preacher today and you're watching this, don't preach the devil's doctrine. Even if you don't understand God's doctrine, just say, I know Jesus wouldn't do that. Amen. My Jesus saw a leper. You think anybody would touch him? But Jesus touched him and set him free. Well, Jesus was poor. That's another lie. You don't gamble for rags. He had pretty nice clothes. You don't gamble. You don't go to Las Vegas and start gambling and say, can you give me the worst thing you got if I win? Come on, man. Let the elevator go to the top. Oh, he's went back to heaven. So all you people that got mad because I said he wouldn't be riding a donkey, he wouldn't. One person put in on that, they said he'd be going through a wormhole. You know, to get where he's got to go. Well, whatever. I tell you, I can't wait till Star Trek becomes a reality. Beam me up, Scotty. That would be nice. Write this down. Never sell your liberty for a false sense of peace with your enemy. That is exactly what the Israelites did. They sold their liberty for a false peace with the Philistines. Here is Samson trying to help them. Now, I can't get over 3,000 of them. If they'd have just started fighting the Philistine right there, they'd have won. But they bound the liberator. Never sell your liberty for a false sense of peace with your enemy. Why? Because this happens to you. When you become demoralized, you lose heart and your spirit's broken.
Do you wholly follow the Lord? We have a great product offer this month titled The Consequences of Wholly Following the Lord. You know, it's possible to be truly His, but not wholly His. It's about having a constant sense of God throughout every area of your life. This message will help you and lead you to a blessed life in Jesus Christ. Go to jdm.org and order it today. You will be blessed.
Hello, it's my prayer that the glorious moments shared today will bless you and inspire you in your walk with Jesus. Maybe one day you'll be able to share your testimony about how God has used our ministry to bless your life. This first one says, I was living in the world and finally I gave my life to Christ. Now every morning I wake up talking to Jesus. I spend my days at work praying and listening to Jesse and Kathy. God has used you both to help me crucify my flesh on a daily basis and be the person God made me to be. Thank you both for your encouragement and the joy you put into people's lives. Thank you. Your testimony encouraged us. Now, this next one says, I started watching you on YouTube more in the last few months, and it's paid off. After losing my job a few weeks ago, I watched one of your messages on tithing. My previous tithing had been slim, but recently I've stepped up on that. Well, this week it paid off. I was offered a very good position, and it happened quickly. Praise God for that. God is so good. And this next one says, I was healed of a heart condition that has troubled me for a while now. I felt the Spirit of God, the Lord, crawl over me to heal every bit of sickness in me. Thank God healing came in for me, and thank you, JDM, for praying for me. I am blessed. Hallelujah. God is in the healing business. Now, this last testimony says, Jesse and Kathy, God is really using you to motivate His people. Your partner letters and Voice of the Covenant magazines always hit the nail on the head in my life. You have taught me to use the mind of Christ, so now I don't see the problems anymore. I look to the answer, Jesus Christ. I love that. Remember, with God, nothing is impossible. He loves you so very much. Reach out to Him today, and He will touch your life in a significant way that will never be lost, never be forgotten. We'll always give glory to Him for His goodness. God bless you. Bye-bye. Are you ready to revive your spiritual life? My book, The Power of Prayer, is loaded with personal stories and biblically based principles that will equip you to start enjoying the abundant life Jesus died to give to you. You can tap into a clear line of communication with God that will reveal His plan for your life. Never underestimate the power of your faith-filled prayers to unlock the gates of heaven and provide for your victory. The Power of Prayer. Order your copy at jdm.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see your dreams come to pass, you have to be free of the status quo mindset. Unbelief has infection in it. Stay away from it. Don't breathe it in. Get away from that kind of stuff. Dreams have no expiration dates. You can get them at 8 years old or 80 years old. Doesn't make any difference. There's a lot more to this message that you didn't get to see. How do I see it? You go to our free JDM app and watch the whole teaching there. You will be blessed. I tell you what, I'm excited about our product offer. It's Kathy's book, The Power of Prayer. I'm telling you, it is a blessing. You need to get this. It will encourage you. Prayer is God's language. If you want answers to your prayers, this book will teach you how to pray God's way. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org for all the ordering information and details, and you can get it there. Partners, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you do for this ministry. Your faithful financial support is so vitally important, not because it's money, it's reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. Now, I wish, my God, that it would all be free. We could preach all over the world, but it's not. But God has been so good and gracious, and I thank you for your faithful financial support. This anointing of increase is on me. You've seen me in all my years of ministry, 49 years, I've never had a financial deficit. Now, that's amazing, not because of who I am, it's because who we are. Together, we believe the word of God. I believe it's 100-fold for you when you sow. Not just 30, not just 60, but 100. Why not? Since you got a choice, might as well go for the best. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Thank you for your faithful support. Every dollar you send goes into world evangelism. You've heard me say it many times before. We've been debt-free since 1982. Without $1 going to interest on anything. I want what you send. You send $20,000 and we got a $20,000 donor coming, 100% goes. You send $20, 100% goes. Nothing goes to pay some debt on interest. Isn't that a blessing? Thank you, partners, for being so kind. This is Jesse Duplantis from New Orleans, Louisiana. I can't thank you enough. I hope we say thank you more and more and more and more because you deserve it. Until next week, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Kathy Duplantis, Senior Pastor of Covenant Church, a local outreach of Jesse Duplantis Ministries, and I would like to personally invite you to come and worship with us. At Covenant Church, we are called to reach everyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are passionate about building strong families and faith-filled relationships. Services are Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. For more information, go to jdm.org/church. I look forward to seeing you soon.
And for centuries, we have been deceived in our own giving. And we've walked past great, wonderful fields of harvest where the devil had his people guarding it. And we thought, man, if I could just get that, and that belonged to us. Because we never named our seed. And if you don't name your seed, how you gonna know your harvest?
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.